my brain is not a memory palace. I know it exists. I recognize this storyline. I don't remember names. That's just me. That's how this works. Hello? Man, I've never had less confidence in what to call them. Hello? Hello? Hey there. Welcome to Sports. The podcast that ends with a question mark, but starts with a question. I feel comfortable with that. I'm Katie Nolan. He's Travis.
Hi.
Hi, she's Christina.
Hello.
And this is today's question.
Hi, Katie, Christina, and trigonometry. I am Liz from Iowa, and it's Teacher Appreciation Week this week. I normally love teaching. It has sucked this year a little bit. So one thing that I think would be really nice is if you could all give a shout out to your favorite teacher from when you were in school and what you liked about them. But my actual question is, what athlete do you think would be the best teacher, not of a PE class? Because that's, you know, that's what they're naturally good at. But what athlete do you think would be good at teaching a different school subject? Bye. Love you. Mean it.
Liz from Iowa, we love you and we mean it too. You're my favorite teacher right now, but that's not a fair answer, right? Shout out to teachers. This message was left last week, obviously. Last week was Teacher Appreciation Week. We're a little late, but what are you telling me that if I don't...
They should get more than a week anyways.
I agree. They should get a whole year. We should pay the teachers, you know? And so we felt that we were going to appreciate some teachers here today. I had a bunch of cool teachers. I had Mrs. Doherty was a teacher of mine when I was little. She also lived near my grandma. And so, like, she gave me, like, I went to her house and I got candy. I don't remember a lot from my childhood. So that's kind of one of the biggest memories I have is, I don't know why I was there or what made it happen, but I do remember the candy and Mrs. Doherty, who was the best. Mrs. Flaherty was my second grade teacher. She was awesome. I was a sad little, well, I guess I was pretty happy, but I had a tragic haircut. So my childhood was a lot of teachers being my friends. For first through seventh, sixth grade. Man, Mr. Grattan was he doesn't deserve a teacher shout out, but if we were objectifying teachers, which we're not, he was like the hot teacher, the hot math teacher that we had in middle school. he was cute. I'd love to see him now. I bet my tastes have changed. I looked at my old yearbook the other day looking for something, but I was browsing through the teachers to refresh my awful memory. And we had a hot teacher that I'm like, who's this guy? What did he teach? And then I texted his picture to my high school friends and they were like, who is that guy? It's just funny that
never
seen
him.
Back then we were just like, that's an adult. And now we're like, that is an attractive adult. That's one of the good ones. But we didn't know to hit on him. So you don't hit on your teachers, folks. Who else are my favorite teachers? I had a really cool... My English teachers and I had interesting relationships because I was a kid who loved to write papers but didn't like to go to class. So English was kind of like my thing. Does one of you have like a bird dying in the background? What is that?
I might have a bird outside my window.
You know what it is?
I hope it's not
my
dying.
Boyfriend making tea. That's what it is. It's my headphones. It's a tea kettle in my apartment.
Ah.
And if you just would have let it go, nobody would have known.
Hey, Bob, you gonna get that?
We can't hear it, Katie.
You can't?
No.
No, I can't hear it. That's why I was wondering.
You can't hear that?
No.
No.
All right, well, it's super loud
over
here.
But now the podcast is aware of it.
I mean, I'm worried that Dan's hurt or something. It's still there's no way. There's nowhere in this apartment that's that far from the kitchen that it should still be. My dog's gonna start barking. I have to go make sure everything's okay. I don't know what's going on. Oh my god. All right, I don't know how much of this you want to leave in, but I went out there and I opened my door and he had his headphones in and he just looked at me like, why are you coming out? You're in the middle of a podcast. And I had a look on my face like, why are you sitting there? Because I didn't see his headphones. And then he took one out and he was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Okay,
that's awesome.
Well, so now we figured it out. Man, I was so worried. I was like, something's wrong. I was really going to start to spiral. Did I say Mr. Fahey already? My English teacher, Mr. Fahey, was awesome. Who were your guys' favorite teachers? Before we answer the actual question.
Mr. Etzler, Mrs. Erb, and Mr. Spencer were.
Shout out.
And Mrs. Metzger. There's the fourth. There's my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, you got a Mount Rushmore. Nice. Teachers. Christina, you got enough for Rushmore?
I don't know about that, but I do have my fifth grade teacher, Miss Rosito. She was awesome. She was always into extra recess and always into letting us play outside longer than any other teacher. Shout out to her. That was awesome. She also, when I fell off of the monkey bars and thought that I died, she came to my rescue. So she let me cry to her all through the rest of extra recess while I thought that I broke my back. Also, shout out to my junior year of high school math teacher, Mr. Bergen. It's not a secret that I can't do math. I suck at math. And he was one of those teachers who would let you retake a math test over and over and over again until you got the grade that you felt you were awesome. Capable of getting.
Damn.
And so, because his whole like philosophy on it was like, keep retaking it and I will teach it to you until you get it. But if there's ever a point where you're like, I'm just never going to understand this and you're okay with that grade, then fine. And so I would countless times take over to redo math tests just to get a semi-passing grade.
Travis has never heard anything less so relatable. Like,
yeah, I mean, he was just so, like, you know, just patient. So, shout That's out to awesome. Mr. Bergen.
I saw a teacher, somebody posted a thing on the internet this weekend that, you know, quote unquote went viral. What does that even mean anymore? But it was one of those tweets that you just see from somebody you don't follow, where it was like they wrote a letter to their teacher that was like, you know, I'm really sorry to ask for an excused absence, but my sister passed away, which immediately flashes you back to college of having to write that email to your teacher asking for something. And the response from the teacher was like, please don't apologize for you can take as much time as you need. It was a very human response. And I was like, man, we really do have a weird relationship with teachers where they're allowed to say that's not okay. And it's just like this, you love when you get a teacher who's like, yes, life happens and I totally understand. And there's a lot of teachers that don't do that, but I'm sure they have their reasons. And I'm sure teaching is incredibly frustrating. So shout out to teachers who have patience and who, you know, recognize that their jobs while to teach is one of them. But you're also teaching kids about like life and responsibility and stuff like that. And I'm sorry to my teachers that I was less responsible than probably would have been ideal for the class. As was once outlined here on this podcast. Who's that I told Pablo the story about when I wrote the fake email that I photoshopped for my teacher? Look, we're not all good kids, but all kids are
we
good
all make
kids
mistakes.
Deep down on the inside. The actual question that Liz wanted us to answer was, which athlete do you think would be the best teacher not of PE class? I feel like Larry Fitzgerald could be a good teacher. He seems patient. He's like quiet. I don't know why those are the things I jump to for a good teacher. Who's like, is there a quarterback that played behind a different quarterback that then was better because they learned from them?
Josh McCown.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a solid one.
Remember, was it his kids? Yeah, that wore his daughter, like in her friend group, wore all his different jerseys from the different teams he's
yes,
played for.
That's so funny.
Who else you got?
Hmm.
I don't think LeBron will be a good teacher. Love him. And I know he's got a school, but I think he would get frustrated. I think he gets frustrated just watching the way he interacts with, I don't know, like J.R. Smith. I'm like, I don't think you've got teacher patience.
Yeah, I don't think you could handle that. I don't know. I'm trying to think like now. Okay. Now I'm opening it up because for some reason, when they say athlete, my mind just instantly goes to like which NFL quarterback. So now I'm trying to think like of any sport.
Rob Gronkowski could teach sex ed.
That is not true. Travis, I will push back on that. I doubt it. I doubt it.
For some reason, I can picture
sex ed
Mike
isn't
Trout
about
being...
like positions. It's about how to be safe when you do it. And I just don't think that's. I'm not. And I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I wouldn't. I don't think so.
I think Mike Trout. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I don't know anything about him. And the fact that he's just so, like, there's so many question marks, but he seems like such a nice guy that I'm like, you know.
You could be a
teacher.
I feel
like you've got the patience. Sure. Yeah, I feel like you're, sure, why not?
That works. Who else? I really don't.
Is there are so many athletes that I'm drawing the biggest blank.
I think Venus Williams could be a great
Ooh,
teacher.
That's a good one.
I feel like she could teach, I don't know, what even are classes now? She could probably teach anything. What about, is there like somebody who loves to read or like talks a lot about loving to do math?
Or is there anybody who's super creative that could maybe teach like an art class?
Miles Garrett was like big into dinosaurs and stuff, so maybe he could.
Ooh, we
Teach
could teach like a history class.
science? Where do dinosaurs go? I don't think they go in
Maybe
history.
like prehistoric history? That'd be cool.
Where is that class offered? I'd take that.
I didn't take it, but I would gladly take it if you taught it.
I know a lot of people who need to take it. I feel like Austin could teach that class. Shout out Austin. Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to think of the. There's got to be a really good example out there of like an athlete who would be very good at teaching a certain thing that isn't PE. Because let's be honest, they'd all be pretty good PE.
But I don't know if they would be that great at PE because their expectations would be.
Yeah, that's what PE
Okay,
is.
you know what I
PE is
think
just a
who.
person with really high expectations of your physical abilities, and then they just yell them at you. Is that not what gym class was for you? Because that's what it was
No,
for
ours
me.
was like, wait, what do you guys want to do today? We're like,
Oh,
we want
man.
to play mat ball. I'm like, all right, let's play mat ball.
I think Marty Bennett would be really good with something creative, like an art
Oh, hell
class
yeah.
or like
Martellus
a,
could teach, yeah, and he could
yeah,
also
like
teach like
some sort of like
kindergarten.
creative space.
He could teach young kids because he's got those children's books and stuff that he makes. He's the best. He would be
I
the
think he has
best
such an
third
imagination.
grade art teacher. It would just be the
Yes.
absolute your favorite class.
I feel like Steph
Yeah.
Curry.
Oh yeah, that's good. You're like we're kind of naming the ones the athletes who have like little kids that we know of. So that makes
Well,
sense.
that works.
I feel like Steph Curry'd be the teacher that like everybody like would be hoping they get his class.
Yeah, I feel like he'd be like a really cool like social
Like the
studies
students
teacher.
go hang out in
I feel
his
like he'd be a
classroom
dorky
like during
science
study
teacher.
hall.
The science teacher that's like likes to do wacky experiments. That's what I feel like
Yeah.
Steph would
Always has
be.
candy at his desk.
Does he? I picture an apple. And that's that rollicking discussion of which athlete would be a teacher. And there it was, a really exciting topic. Liz, thank you for your question. We love you and we mean it. If you have a
You're
question
my
that you
favorite
want to
teacher,
ask,
Liz.
well, that's, I said that already, so I get the credit. And he gets only half credit. I'll stay after class. If you have a question that you want to ask, you can always leave up a voicemail. It's 860-506-5571. Hi.
What's going
Hello.
on?
Good. Hi. And nothing's going on. Well, something's going on. I picked the voicemails for this right before the podcast. And today we got, guys, we got our first like hate voicemail.
Nice.
It was really mean.
Was
Like
it to all
just
of us, or was it directed at one
No, it
person?
was to all of us, but it
Ooh.
did mention that our voices were grating, and I feel like had they only meant the women, they would have said shrill. And so I do think it includes you, Travis.
All right, we're going to f let's go to war then.
Yeah, only you and I were named by name.
Oh, so it was
Oh,
like
nice.
Tina probably had her friend call in.
No, it, Christina
No,
was
I
named,
don't
but
think I meant for
he
Oh.
didn't give her name. He gave her
Oh, nice. Okay.
he
Yeah,
called her
that girl
something
over there.
else. It's
Yeah.
just like it, but here's the thing, and this is what I was saying to you. The reason it's not gonna, I was thinking about playing it, and then we could all dunk on him. But then I was like, that's exactly what he wants. So we're not doing that. Because we're not here to give you what you want, sir. We're here to make our show, just to reiterate. But the thing that made it not hurt as much was that he clearly was he was like tripping over his words trying to say it, and so he was nervous. And it's just always funny when someone calls in to your podcast that they can hear for free to complain about it, and they're not even confident enough to complain. It's like, so are you even mad? Anyway, he said it was like he was waiting for a table at a restaurant, and we were in front of him. Also waiting for a table, and he couldn't escape our conversation that he has to listen to it. And I just want to say that's not true. I'm at my house and you're at yours, and you don't have to listen to anything I say, and it would be
I wonder what
totally
kind of
fine with me.
restaurant.
I don't know, probably a TGI Fridays.
I was thinking more of a Chili's.
But the compliment I'll take from it is that he said that we have conversations about things that matter to 20 something girls and no one else. And I was like, hell yeah, that's right. I'm a
Let's
20
go.
something girl. What a dumb, vapid 20 something year old girl I am. Please tell all your friends about me,
Been
the
my goal
20
this whole time.
something girl that has these vapid conversations. Other than that, friendly banter wise, I had a pretty low key weekend. Dan's going to go back on the road soon. So we're enjoying weekends that aren't of him on the road. And so we watched the Son of Sam documentary. It's like a 4-part series on Netflix. Very interesting. But I never know if that's because I didn't know enough about Son of Sam when I started or what. But it was really interesting and I learned a lot. And that's that. I really want to watch Seaspiracy, but we haven't.
I want to watch it too, but I don't know if yet. I should.
Why?
I keep just scrolling past heard it. That it.
Yeah, well, I've heard that it will make you never want to eat fish again, and I actually kind of like fish.
I mean, I kind of like fish, but if it were something, I'd be like, oh, it probably won't affect me as much. Cause
I'm not watching it then.
Oh, okay, Travis. That's it.
Okay, cool.
Ignorance really
I don't want it to
bliss.
Ruin my fish experience.
Ignorance is fish. That's what they've always said. All right, so, well, I'm still going to probably watch it, and then I'll just tell you guys all the information anyway, so then you'll have to hate fish. I just wish they named it Conspiracy with an S-E-A.
Yeah, I feel like that would have gone a little bit better.
It was just right there waiting for you, and they didn't take it. But, oh, well, what about you guys? How are you doing?
I had a relaxing weekend.
Did you?
Took it nice and easy, getting my second dose of COVID vaccine tomorrow. So I'm like,
woo! Getting double vaxxed nice. Up.
Yep, Team Moderna. Let's go.
Cool. So I should just assume on Wednesday I'm rolling by myself because you're going to be out of commission.
I sent Cassidy the link today. The plan is to work, but we'll see.
Be there. All right. Okay. It didn't. Dan All didn't right, get too knocked out. His arm hurt, and he got the headaches, but that was it. So we'll see. Fingers crossed for you.
And then I had a proud moment. Katie, you don't cook a lot, so this probably has never happened for you.
Wow, okay. Let's assume.
So, all right. Just instantly starting
right
off with an insult, but okay.
Right down. Just
so, like, on Sundays, I like to cook for the week.
Okay.
Or try
Meal
to.
Prep. Okay.
Because I hate cooking every night. And I, like, never end up eating everything that I cook. Not this time. Ate everything. Proud
wow,
moment.
Wow, that's a proud moment for you?
Sorry,
so walk me through what's normally happening. Are we talking like you cook a bunch of ground beef and then you make a bunch of chili throughout the week? Or you cook a bunch
no,
of chicken
No, sometimes it'll be
and...
chicken, hamburgers. I made this bratwurst thing that I saw on TikTok.
So you cook all your meals on Sunday and then you like individually package them and freeze them?
And put them in Tupperware so then for the week they're there. And just
so
reheat.
Everything you eat is leftovers?
Yeah.
That's my worst nightmare.
Yeah,
I love leftovers, though. Now, I will say it gets old sometimes when you're eating the same thing, which is why I never end up eating at all, but we accomplished that this week.
That's really interesting and good for you. Why was this week different?
I think maybe because it was new. I never
used these recipes before.
Yeah, TikTok, man. When
was
you get
it
down,
good?
Yeah. It was. I took bratwurst and half of the casing and cut it. Put cheese in the middle,
ooh.
And then had marinara sauce in the casserole dish, and then I also added onions and peppers on it.
Hell yeah!
And then I made a couple. Trader Joe's their sides are like perfect, so I made a couple sides to have with it.
Travis, good for you, bud. You did your whole meal thing.
Yeah, it was a good week for me.
Yeah, look, I'm starting to get bit by the bug. I'm going to have to start cooking because I'm like getting annoyed with myself for always having leftovers of food that doesn't really reheat because I didn't eat a full meal and I'm not eating enough meals in the day. And I'm just like, yeah, I got to probably this is why people start cooking so they don't have to Grubhub every time they have a meal.
Why don't you get a food delivery, like a meal delivery?
Well, because I've tried it. It takes up a lot of space in your fridge in a weird way. And B, they always deliver it with those huge ice packs, which then I have to lug back downstairs to throw them away, which is very annoying. I know that sounds little and stupid, but it's just like if you get them often enough, which you would need to if you were going to actually use them to live, you just stack up these huge ice things that you gotta trash. It's annoying to
me.
That
is a pain.
But I can just grocery shop. It's because, you know what it is? It's all these things come back to, I bought an apartment that I was supposed to renovate because all of the appliances were old, the bathrooms, the kitchen, everything's old. And then I did not do that because someone else was supposed to do it and they did not. And I don't know where to start when there's a task that's big like that. I'm like, well, I don't know. I'll just suffer until I get a different apartment because it's just not a good kitchen for cooking in. I'm making excuses and I will continue to do so. Until, again, I'm probably medicated for this depression I'm denying. So that's where we're at. Christina, how was your weekend?
My weekend was also pretty low key. I didn't really do anything. But I do have a really awkward story I can tell you from last week.
I mean,
hear
yes.
It?
Yeah, of course we do. How awkward? Scale of 1 to 10.
Well, for me, it was like a 10 out of 10.
Damn. Okay, let's go.
So I... I've been doing the drive-through pharmacy at CVS because it's so much faster. And normally that would stress me out, but I decided to tackle it a few months ago, and now I can't turn back because it's super convenient. So this has never been an issue for me. I have not run into a problem with this until last Tuesday. I drove up, and for whatever reason, I guess my car was too loud. I don't know what was happening. What? There was nothing else, you know, environmentally around me that was making a loud enough noise to where the pharmacist couldn't hear me. But the pharmacist picks up the phone and goes, "Here for pickup?" And I said, "Yes." And so they heard that. And then she said, "Okay, last name, date of birth." And so I said, "Buswell." And usually I say Buswell, B-U-S-W-E-L-L. And I'm halfway through spelling and she goes, "I can't hear you."
What?
And I went, "Okay, Buswell, B-U-S-W-E-L-L. Nope, I still can't hear you." And what? Now it's like a, huh? So now I'm very flustered and I am halfway out of my car going, "Buswell, B-U-S," like screaming it at the window. I could see the car behind me, who also has their windows down, laughing because I am halfway out my car screaming my last name. I'm finally halfway through and I'm like, "B-U-S," and I hear, "All right, I'm coming." And I went, "Oh, okay." What? So then she comes around the corner and said, "One prescription?" And I said, "Yeah."
What?
And she said, "Oh, okay."
She came outside?
No, she like came out and opened the window.
Oh, I thought she came outside
said,
too. I was like, "I don't think this lady works there. I think you got a random person."
No, if she came outside, I probably would have just driven away.
Me too.
But I was at the point where I was like, do I just drive away because I'm so awkward?
Oh, I've done those.
And I easily could do it. I could just throw my car and drive and just easily drive away and forget this whole thing happened. But she came up to the window and said, I have your prescription. And I said, "Well, do you need my date of birth? I don't think you got my last name correct." And she said, "No, Christina Buswell, you know, here's all my information."
But you never
and I said,
gave your date of
but
birth?
But you didn't. What? No. And I said, "But you didn't get my..." "Okay, whatever. Okay, fine." And so I just, here's my credit card. Thank you. Man. And I drove away. I came home, immediately told my boyfriend and said, "I'm so uncomfortable. I'm not going back." And yeah, that's...
Man, there's that nothing, nothing, few things make me less comfortable than when somebody can't hear me. Like, if
God.
I'm on...
And I was like, I have to repeat it again and again.
But I've been on, if I had a dollar for every, like, important phone conversation I have been on where someone is breaking up, and I don't want to, I know they're in the middle of something really important, and I'm like, "Oh my God, they're breaking up. Do I pretend that I can hear them, or do I tell them they're breaking up?" Or, and then I hang up, and then they're like, "I think we got disconnected." And I'm like, "Oh, I think so too, but I can hear you now. So cool, cool, cool. You were breaking up. Can you say that last part again?" Like, I just panic.
That actually happened to me recently. I was on a phone call and somebody was saying something very important about a day and time, and I completely missed it. And I said, "Well, there's a lot of other people on this call and everybody else got it, I guess, but I didn't." So I just sat there and someone said, "Okay, so just to reiterate, we're going to," and I said, "Oh, thank you for doing
that's
that."
Awesome.
Cause I missed it the first time and I was not going to go back
and ask you to repeat it. When I can't hear somebody on the phone or when they can't hear me, I get frustrated. My fuse is a lot shorter. I can't handle the like, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Katie, what'd you say?"
Yeah, shut up, Travis. You're going to make me go nuts. I got about two of those in me, and then I'm like, "Yeah, I'm ending whatever this is. We're not connected. It's bad. I hate it."
Yeah, I'm like, "All right, try me later.
It's a weakness." Yeah, so I probably would have driven away from that place.
And oh, then, I strongly contemplated.
And then freaked
I was
out
about
needing my prescription
but not knowing
how to get it.
It was like, I really need this prescription because I really need to start it today. Yeah. So if I don't get it, not good.
Look, as a person who's prescribed Adderall for her ADHD, I have jumped through many a flaming hoop at a CVS and a Walgreens because they never believe that you actually need the medication that you have, and you have to like prove yourself in so many ways. You're like, "Guys, I come here every month. You know me at this point.
I just listen to my podcast. You'll see I need it.
Every single month I come here
like,
for the last few
me?
Years.
I need this.
Like, please stop making. I'm not trying to con you. I'm not selling it to kids. I need it or I can't function." Oy. Travis, you got anything else that happened to you? I really had a boring weekend. I wish I had more to banter with y'all friend Lily about.
No, I don't have anything. I didn't do anything.
All right. Well, that's us. Your exciting podcast crew. Sorry to you guys that we don't have lives. But look, Travis is about to be double vaxxed, and then things are going to pick back up. We're going to have We're going to have a love life saga. We'll have a whole section of this podcast where we discuss Travis's dates. I'm just trying to judge by his smile if he's, yep, he's still seeing that girl. So there's
no,
that.
I haven't.
Oh, but you're not like, you didn't stop talking to each other.
No, but she'll just drop off. And so like, I don't want to like text much. So there'll be a couple days where there isn't.
Okay.
And then also she has her read receipts on. So I'm like,
I love a lady with her read receipts on.
You saw the text earlier.
Huh. Interesting. Well, she wants you to know she saw it because she's got the receipts.
So we'll see if there's any plans this weekend or not. If not, then... I mean, this past weekend was Mother's Day weekend, so it's like...
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was also my mom's birthday. Shout out to my mom.
Woo-woo! Shout out Katie's mom.
She very rarely do they fall on the same day. Usually I get to miss sending her flowers on the expensive day and send them to her on the less expensive day, her birthday. But this year, it was both yesterday. So shout out to my mom, who is the sweetest and the cutest, and I love her very much. All right. That feels like the beginning of a podcast. Do we have any official pod business? No.
We do have official pod business.
Oh, the selfie! Oh.
Yeah! So wait, when do we get it?
First of all, thank you to the 20-plus people throwing out 5-star reviews.
Yep, and I'm going to put an asterisk on that thank you and interject real quick to say no that's thank not you asterisk, for naming that's a star. Them. For naming them all selfie and writing about how you just are leaving a review so Travis can get a selfie, because those reviews are essentially now worthless to anybody who's wondering if they should listen to this podcast.
Nope.
But thank you for leaving them. We'll take any of them. But I'm just saying, next time, disguise them. Just hide them a little bit. Sorry, Travis. Continue.
Keep leaving them. So the question, though, is, am I allowed to post an old selfie or do I have to take a new selfie?
I would say it should be new. But the whole point is for you to post a picture of you that you like, that isn't, it can't be old from like the Masters and everybody be like, flashback to when I was at the Masters. It has to seem like you're currently posting it just because you like this picture of your face.
Okay.
So you don't have to take it today, but it does have to be like a picture of your face with no identifying, and you can't be like, flashback to that time that.
So then the next question is, you were asking about captions last week.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a caption that I need to put with this?
No, and I love that you would just, if I gave you one, you'd write it. That's insane to me. I just think that, like, it shouldn't say, it can't acknowledge this challenge. It can't be, like, posting this because we got a bunch of 5-star reviews. It has to just seem like, again, you have a picture of you that you want to share with the world, and it's of your face. So you can write whatever you want. You could be like, check out this morning glow. You can write whatever you want about yourself. But it just can't acknowledge that we paid you essentially to do this.
I'm debating if I should go cheesy COVID vaccine selfie or not.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. That's
that
a good
very
excuse.
Timely and relevant.
If what you're looking for is an excuse so that people won't be like, why would he post a picture of his face? Then I guess that does make sense.
Especially if you, and it sounds like you haven't, You not only don't post often on Instagram, you haven't posted a selfie. So it would make sense to, you know, need a reason to do it.
So I will post one the next couple days.
Okay.
Depending on when you're listening to this, there may not be one. There will be one before the week's over.
Oh, people are on the edge of their seat. They're just going to be refreshing that timeline. What's your Twitter again? I mean, your Instagram? At T Rockhold?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
At Trockhold.
I made it public, too.
Nice.
I was getting a lot of requests, so.
Travis Arthur Rockhold.
Nope.
Travis Amadeus Anthony. Rockhold.
Nope.
Anthony was my first guess. Anthony was my first guess. He said
nope.
Travis Aaron.
Travis Archibald.
Nope.
Travis. Is it a word? Is it a name we've heard of before?
I don't know what words and names you've heard of.
Travis, within reasonable, is it like a name that's common?
I think so.
Okay.
Is it a common first name?
Okay, so what you're saying is it's someone's maiden name?
I don't think it's a common
first
name.
Is it a family
that
name that we would never know?
It's not like it's that crazy of a name.
Travis Ames Rockhold.
No.
Travis Armand Rockhold.
No.
Travis Aloysius Rockhold.
No, and you're out of guesses.
Okay, what is it?
No, we'll keep going, but what? Just for
I'm
today.
I'm out of okay. What is this game I'm suddenly involved in?
This is such a weird
in?
Game I, that you just created.
No, this has been going on for a while. I told Katie originally you get one guess per pot, and now like you went. And...
Yeah, but I'm stacking them because I forgot. They're like rollover minutes.
All right, so we're good now. For...
Okay, today on the podcast, we're going to keep guessing until we get it. That's first and foremost. Second of all, Tim Tebow. My goodness. Tim Tebow's back in the NFL. We're checking in on that Diamondbacks couple from that Travis loved so much. I meant to delete that story because I don't care. There's a rat or maybe a raccoon at a Mets game. Anthony Davis and the Lakers in the play-in tournament. The horse that does drugs. There's a drug horse. Adam Thielen has stuff to say about Lambeau Field. And Aaron Rodgers is thirsty as hell to host Jeopardy. Before all that, today's podcast is brought to you by MeUndies. So, Travis, how would you like me to tell people about MeUndies?
As if you were a little kid that got a gift and is really excited to share it with people and tell them what they got.
Oh, this is my favorite. This is what I want. Summer is coming. And for so many of us, it's a season of discomfort. It's hot out. And if you could sit around in just your underwear, you would. You get comfortable and express yourself this summer with undies in classic and bold colors and fun and adventurous prints. And MeUndies makes it easy to match too. You can match your bottom half to your better half or to your better
half. Just slow down.
So you can match and I like it. You can match your bottom half to your better half. You mm-hmm. can match your friends, and then you can match your boyfriends, or you can match your girlfriends, or you can match your non-binary friends, boyfriends, and girlfriends. And MeUndies helps you find matching pairs in a style and a color or a print of undies that's right for you and your boo. And because who doesn't love a secret twinning moment? Okay, MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners, and it's really great, and it's fun, and it's really nice, and it's got a fun sister that I really like. For any first-time purchases, you get 15% off and free shipping. And then and MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy, which is like in the Lion King, in the Hakuna Matata. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it, which is money. And I don't understand money, but I heard that my mom cares about money a lot. And there's no caveats or there's no questions if you want to return your undies. So get your 15% off your free order and free shipping if you go to MeUndies.com/Nolan. That's MeUndies.com/Nolan. And can I go play with it now?
Sure.
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Yay, that's a little kid. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. Tim Tebow is back in the NFL. Also, whoever wrote this in the doc, I do love that you called Peter King Pete King, because I think it's about time we call Pete King Pete King. He's been Peter for too long. We're familiar now. Pete King said in his weekly column that the Jags are signing Tim Tebow as their backup tight end, or that it's a real possibility. And I think it was announced that it actually is happening. He already went and worked out for the Jags before the draft. I mean, my God, Urban Meyer, what are we doing?
I mean, I've been asking that question since the day he took the job. So the answer is I don't know.
Travis, what I know you have thoughts, so can you just say them instead of snarking?
No, I want you guys...
This is what your job is, Travis, is like, I got stuff to say, but I'm going to bounce it off of what you say.
I'm interested because of the tie to Ohio State.
What harm is it in bringing Tebow in? What harm does it do?
Well, it first of all, it takes up a roster spot from somebody else. So that...
This isn't Pee-wee where, like, everybody gets a spot.
I didn't say everybody gets a spot, but backup tight end...
Who's it taking a spot from?
Another backup tight end?
Some undrafted player. I mean, what has Tim Tebow done to earn that spot other than, in terms of Urban Meyer, kind of help cover him in a lot of ways?
What have any of these tight ends done to deserve a spot?
Travis.
I think the idea of deserving a spot is dumb.
He's never played tight end before. In fact, he might still be in the NFL as a tight end had he switched to tight end back when he wanted to be a quarterback so bad, but he didn't and he wouldn't. So what, I just don't understand your logic of like, why not pick a guy who's never played tight end over a younger guy who has played tight end before?
They're going to bring him. I don't think Urban would just sign him just to sign him. Urban wants to win.
Yeah, sure. But Urban also, I think he signs him because he's a locker room guy. Because he knows that Tim Tebow can be the guy that if anything goes wrong with his players, he can always point to this shining Tebow on a hill that's like, look at this upstanding citizen.
But if Tebow isn't good, he's not going to be able to be the voice in the locker room.
I mean, I think that way. But why else are you bringing him in? Why is he there?
You think that he can bring you value.
And what value is Tim Tebow bringing? He was playing baseball last I checked.
I have a question. Is he actually going to play? Because the way I read this is we're bringing in Tim Tebow to not play, but we're going to call him the backup tight end. But he's not going to play. He's just here to boost morale.
Well, if that were the case, then just make him a coach. Because then the players have to listen to him. Right now, they do not.
He worked out with the team. So clearly, we know that he's athletic. We know that he knows the sport.
I mean, he is sure, an athlete,
Travis, there's a lot of people who are athletic and who know the sport.
So bring him in and give it a shot.
He's 33 years old, just for anybody that's like, how old is he now? 33. Keep going, Travis.
I don't see the harm in it.
He last played in the NFL in 2015, and that's a stretch. He was cut in the preseason by the Eagles. He spent the last 6+ years as a different kind of professional athlete, minor league outfielder and designated hitter for the Mets. He's a long shot to have an impact on the field at his advanced age. Urban Meyer loves him, which everybody knows. They won the Heisman. He won the Heisman in 2007 between two national championships with Meyer and the Gators in 2006, 2008. I mean, it's just like, it feels like Urban Meyer is like, I've got one shot to do whatever I want, and I'm going to do whatever I want. I mean, between his coaching hires and it's just like, he's doing a lot. He's not coming in quietly, right? So, good for him, I guess. But it just feels like, I don't know. It just feels to me like you're not the guy here. You're not the guy in the NFL.
What do you mean not the guy?
Like he just seems like he's like, I'm going to do all these things. As I'm saying it, I'm like, he should do whatever he wants to do, I guess, with your own team. But it just feels like he's making these choices that are like, are you playing in long term? You going for 1 year? What is this? Why would you bring in Tim Tebow? Why, like, granted, the Jags don't have the greatest tight end situation. I just don't think it's going to be Tim Tebow. And maybe it is. Maybe it is.
If it doesn't work out, though, it doesn't work out, and they move. Like, it's not like it's they're not giving him a 5-year deal, and it's gonna hurt their salary cap.
Do you love Tim Tebow or something?
No, he beat Ohio State in the national championship game in 2006. Like, I have no fandom or love towards Tebow. I just think that it's this openly bashing the idea. I think that's just the easy thing to do.
I mean, I don't know. I just don't foresee Tebow walking in and helping out in any way. He is an athlete, of course, and he's a better athlete than most people at the sports that he has played. But I don't see him walking in and I don't know. I feel like I already have a bad taste in my mouth because of Urban Meyer and the fact I've been out on this to begin with. But I don't know. I guess I can see your point, Travis. I mean, it's not like it's really going to hurt them long term, especially if Tebow sucks. But here's what it is. I see it not working out.
I think the thing that bothers me is that when you come from college and you start coaching in the pros, the most obvious switch is you're going from teaching, from coaching guys who aren't getting paid to guys who are getting paid a lot of money. You go from, essentially the narrative of coaching kids to coaching adults, and the adults are less likely to just listen to you because they have to. Bringing in Tim Tebow to me seems like a cheat code for Urban Meyer in the sense that he's going to bring in a kid who already revered him as a kid. They already established that relationship, and now he's going to bring him in, which to me says that Urban Meyer is afraid that players, that other players he would sign would not listen to him, that he would rather have a guy who's going to listen to him and look up to him and revere him because he established that relationship in an economy where that was the way that it worked. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to win over the respect of an NFL player in order for them to listen to you. But if you make your NFL players former college players that played for you, that you already have that relationship with, it makes it a little bit easier for you.
I can see that.
But again, I just don't see how Tim's going to, if Tim isn't good, the players aren't going to be like, oh, let's listen to what he has to say. He can only be that leader if he's out there.
That's sometimes true, but sometimes it's not true. It depends on the people.
Give me an example of a leader that didn't play.
There's a lot of leaders that didn't play. There's a lot of guys who are like, oh, that, like in Liverpool, I'm thinking, for example, our goalie, our older goalie, this was a couple years ago, was like, they didn't get rid of him because he was so good at keeping the locker room together and motivating people. Even though he'd been replaced at his position and he was no longer the starting goalie, he was like a locker room gel.
But he had been there for years.
Or like Kevin Millar in the year the Red Sox won the World Series. Was he the most pivotal player? No, but he was the locker room guy.
But he was playing, though.
Sure.
And was contributing.
I'm just saying, there are guys that do it. The goalie wasn't playing. There are guys who sometimes are just the locker room guy that like help bridge the gap between coach and player.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And to your point, Travis, I would argue that there are guys out there who aren't the best and who don't perform the best on the field, on the court, whatever it may be, but are locker room guys, and they are kept around because they boost morale and because they're a great locker room guy.
Do you disagree with this, Travis?
But they're playing. What I'm saying, though, is
they're not. Sometimes they're not.
Yeah, sometimes they're not. But to flip flop, there are locker room cancers who are kept around because they are good performing. So there's a flip flop of it too, where it's guys are kept around and who are given extended contracts and whatever it is because they perform so well, but the locker room hates them. They don't get along with anybody. And so I think to your point, to argue that, I would say, even if Tebow does suck, I think there is still a high chance that people will listen to him, just given the fact of who he is and the fact that he's so close to Urban.
But your examples are Kevin Miller played in that, the backup goalie, I'm willing to bet.
Travis, I suck at examples. You know that. More than anything, my brain is not a memory palace. I have no, I can't, I know it exists. I recognize
and
this.
And I can't recall it.
I recognize this storyline. I don't remember names. That's just me. That's how this works.
I just think that if it doesn't work out, he's not going to be like hanging around.
Sure.
As a player.
I feel like you're trying to defend that like it's okay that anyone can hire anyone they want. And yes, that's absolutely true. But the argument we're making here is why Tim Tebow? Why go out of, it's clearly an exception to go get somebody who was not playing in the NFL anymore, did not play at this position before, and that's why they left. He's going and getting a guy who nobody thought, like, yes, you can hire anyone you want when you're a coach in the NFL, but we're trying to figure out why he would want to go get Tebow.
So my theory is Urban obviously has an affinity for him and knows how talented he is and thinks that maybe it can work. And Tim, I'm wondering, is thinking or has that like that itch and doesn't want, has been maybe thinking recently, maybe I should have tried tight end and doesn't want to regret it. So you know what? Let's give it a try. And if it doesn't work, I can live with it failing. I can't live with not knowing.
Really? You can't live with not knowing if he was going to be able to do it?
Tim Tebow's the person that's not afraid to... He's not afraid to fail. He's going to try it.
I mean, I don't know. That's actually not true. People were encouraging him to switch positions when he wanted to stay in the NFL, and he said no. So he isn't the guy who's necessarily going to try it.
But at that time, it was in his mind is to be quarterback and to prove that he can be a quarterback. Now he's sitting there going, maybe I should have done this. He wouldn't try to play baseball because, like... Tim Tebow's not afraid of failure.
Sure. All right, that's fine. So we'll see what happens, I guess. To me, it just seems like an obvious, he's got an ally, and it could help bridge the gap in the relationship with Trevor Lawrence that Urban Meyer's hoping to build. You disagree?
I don't think he needs that with Trevor. I think Trevor respects him.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too, but I think having guys that have that respect for you built in already will be helpful all around for your team. in general when they're like, why should we listen to this guy? He's a college coach. If that's a thing. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to. You're getting very combative with me. I don't like the man. All right. I'm allowed to not like the man. It's my personal opinion. Does not reflect the opinions of my network or my co-hosts or my producers. Okay.
Perfect. Let's
talk about this Diamondbacks couple. I'm elated by this headline. Viral Diamondbacks couple breaks up. You'll remember a couple episodes ago, who knows how many times a flat circle. There was a couple that was dating at a baseball game, and a famous YouTuber tweeted, my roommate is at this game. Can you zoom out so I can see? And the Diamondbacks went and found them and like put them on the Jumbotron, and it turned into this whole big thing. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I hope these two feel comfortable to break up if they don't actually like each other, because this is a lot of attention. Between this headline that I just read about them breaking up and me saying that, there has been more dates. They went on 3 dates. One of them, 2 dates.
They went on one more date.
Okay, sorry. They went on one more date, okay. And it was at a Coyotes game. See, the third date was to an Arizona Coyotes game. It says it right there. 3 dates.
They didn't go on 3 more, though.
Sorry. That's how it sounded. I'm sorry. You're right. This is where the numbers matter, and we need to make sure we don't get our facts wrong. They went on 3 total dates. One of the dates was at an Arizona Coyotes game where the Coyotes tweeted out a photo of the two wearing Coyotes jerseys. So it was like, oh, they're going to go through all the sports. This is going to become a thing. And then on Friday, Matthew Minnis is the guy. And then we have Emma. We don't know Emma's last name, I guess, because facts only matter when it's how many dates you've been on. Matthew said to Twitter, I'm sorry, there is no 4th date. And then he said, sometimes you can meet the right person at the wrong time. At the end of the day, I just want her to be happy. To all the Arizona sports teams, you rock and you have a fan for life. I'll never forget the incredibly kind gestures. Hell yeah. I love this. What's wrong,
Travis? I mean, I do too. I think that to your point, Katie, I mean, good for them for feeling comfortable to say, you know what, we tried it, didn't work. But also, I mean, I think that it was fun while it lasted, and not to say that like I'm happy to see that they have broken up, but I think that, you know, okay, it was fun while it lasted.
We should celebrate this more. When people go on 3 dates and break up, we should celebrate that more. Because it means you tried it.
His message was so nice.
You tried it, and then you were both like, you know what? I don't think this is for us. And then you're like, okay. Because it's only been 3 dates. So then you just cut it quick and move on to the next one.
And what he said is exactly right. It's like he's not saying that there was something wrong or that she's a bad person, he's a bad person. It's just, hey, it didn't work out, but Travis, thanks everybody for joining in.
What?
Well, one, I think this one downfall was wearing gym shorts, but that's another thing. I think that they should have went on with the charade and see how many more like tickets and games they could have gone to.
At least go to like a Suns game.
Fake this relationship. The Suns about to be in the playoffs.
I know. That's what I was Football's like. Wait, not, you like, gotta just well, get, go ride that.
You fake this relationship. Like, listen, Emma, we can, you know, do your own thing on the side, but then on Saturdays and Sundays or whatever when the games are, like, you know.
If not to talk her into it, if she's not into it, then find somebody who looks like Emma and be like, yeah, this is Emma. And then no one's ever going to be like, is that the same girl? Because nobody cares that much.
I also wonder if the games put too much pressure on the relationship.
Who brought that point up last time?
I think Christina did.
Who voiced that concern last time?
No, I will be the first to tell you that I did not bring up that point, but I did agree with it.
Ooh!
But I wonder, and then the next game, you're at a hockey game, and they're pictured wearing sweaters and like, I'm just wondering, you know, hockey sweaters that is. I'm wondering if it was just too much.
Dude, listen, an Arizona Coyotes game is a lot. You know, you really got to be in it together to go through an Arizona Coyotes game.
Like, I feel like that should have been date like 11.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, look, they got cool stuff out of it. What a cool experience. Would have been great for them to stay together. I'm glad they didn't feel pressured to stay in a relationship they didn't want to stay in. Good for them. I hope they're nice to each other. And I hope the internet handles this like adults and doesn't find the two of them and harass them about something that was stupid and had nothing to do with anyone else.
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering is if Emma got better options after they went viral.
What, you think she was like an advertisement? You think that this was like a... Travis, how do you think women date? You think we just put our faces on billboards and then when the phone calls roll in,
that's,
we're like,
no, that's not what I'm saying, but I'm just wondering if I
trade up. We have
somebody slid
in
the DMs like, listen, I don't wear gym shorts to dates. You want to, you know.
Look, if the gym shorts bothered her, she shouldn't have gone on the second date.
Well, that was the second date.
Yes, and then they went on a third because they went on three total dates.
I'm joking about that.
Mm.
Well, but I'm not. I'm sad for them.
I'm serious about everything I'm saying on this podcast.
I wish they would have could have made it work.
Why? What does it matter to you? What if they made each other incredibly unhappy? I hope that they both find love. And I'm glad that they were able to quickly rule out that it was not with each other. We were rooting for you, and now we continue to root for you in your journeys to find the love that you deserve at a Suns game. Just go to a Suns game. They're doing stuff. Yeah, that's what,
like, why? Why didn't you just, like, hold out a little longer just to get, like,
get the good stuff.
A few more games out of it?
Courtside seats.
Courtside seats.
Speaking of the good stuff, in the bottom of the seventh inning of the Mets-Diamondbacks game, so, you know, speaking of the Diamondbacks, I guess, something happened with Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil. Cameras caught players running into the dugout but couldn't see what was going on because they were running down into the tunnel. After the game, Lindor said, "It was funny. I told McNeil that I'd never seen a New York rat, so we went down sprinting. I wanted to go see a New York rat." And he's like, "It's not a rat. It's a raccoon." And I was like, "Hell no. It's a damn rat. It's a New York rat." These are great quotes, guys. Really good, solid quotes. McNeil said, like Lindor said, a nice debate about a rat or a raccoon. To be honest, I thought it was actually a possum. Well, now they got a third option here.
Well, what is it?
So not a raccoon, but a possum. Many reporters, including Jeff Passan, weren't buying this story. They were also jokes about New York and rats. Oh, that's just Travis doing that thing where he sums up a headline and then puts
and
a link.
And it gives you no info.
And I thought it was
there was just a bunch of tweets about people making jokes about New York rats.
What if you put the tweets in the doc then? So instead of me just blindly reading that there were jokes.
There were also jokes about New York and rats.
If you click that thing that says link and
yes,
then scroll down.
Yes, I know, but if I'm trying to tell it to the listener, well, who's this? My question is, who's this sentence? For nobody. I don't need it. They don't need it. Let me click on this link and see what happened. So I guess the question, what's happening here? They're just debating if it were a rat, a raccoon.
Well, and then a day later, the GM comes out and is like, they just got into a little like argument. And
what?
There was no rat or raccoon.
Zach Scott, the acting GM of the Mets, wasn't pleased with how things played out. You'd have to ask the players why they chose to handle it that way, Scott said Saturday. Not how I'd go about it. I think what's unfortunate is it's a little bit of a bigger story than it needs to be, and it takes away from one of our best wins of it. Are they serious? Sorry. So there was an animal of some sort in the...
No, I don't think there was.
What?
There was no animal there. They got into an argument.
About what?
In the seventh inning or something, there was something that happened between the two. And so they had an argument down in the tunnel and used that as the
they said they were arguing. They were arguing about what? Because it says, no, it's not a rat. It's a raccoon. What are they referring to?
There is no animal there.
They
just came up with an excuse of what was going on.
How do you know that? This is all a lie?
Well, if it wasn't, then why did the GM say...
You have to ask players why they chose to handle it that way. Handle what that way?
This
story is either not making sense because Travis thinks he's said something that he hasn't, or I'm at the gym too hard.
Something's not clicking.
Yeah,
what's up here?
There's video of players like running into the dugout because something is going on.
Oh, okay. And so they, instead of saying, hey, we all fought in the dugout over XYZ, we don't know whether... Oh, okay.
Yes,
so the
but
fact
if they're fighting...
Nobody can...
What I still don't understand is they said, it's a raccoon, and he said, it's a rat. What is the it? What
so
are they...
So it's... So my question is that one guy said, oh, yeah, there was a... It's kind of like that... Like nobody met up beforehand and all got on the same page about what they were lying about. So one guy says, "Oh, there was a rat in the dugout." Someone else says, "No, there was a possum in the dugout." Whatever it was. So is it that we just caught three different guys saying that there were three different animals in the dugout, and that's how we know it's a lie? Are they? Is the
this
rat
is what
something
we're missing,
bigger than what it is?
Lindor's story starts with, it was funny. I told McNeil that I'd never seen a New York rat, so went down sprinting. I wanted to go see a New York rat. Makes that, what's missing is the sentence that's like, someone told me there was a rat downstairs.
Yes.
I told McNeil I'd never seen a rat, so I went down, I wanted to go see it, and he was like, it's not a rat, it's a raccoon. I'm missing that first sentence. This story does not ever start, it just happened.
It just kind of like, picks up. Wait,
so did somebody tell him that there was a rat, and then they got into a fight about a rat or a raccoon, or maybe it was even a possum? Or are these just adults fighting each other that came up with a fake excuse about what they were actually fighting
about? I think
it's a
fake excuse, and they got in an argument in the tunnel, and the cameras couldn't pick up what was going on other than the commotion of players running into the dugout.
Okay, so what I would love would be some reporting on what they were fighting about. And I would also yes. love the GM to shut up because you won the game. So it's really not that big of a deal. Don't turn this into more of a thing than it needs to be. We've already turned it into a weird thing with the rat and the raccoon and the possum, who's not getting a lot of respect in any of these headlines because it says rat or raccoon.
Okay, so, but for the sake of context, it's worth noting that a notable seventh inning miscommunication between Lindor and McNeil, which allowed Arizona's Nick Ahmed to reach on an infield single, happened moments before.
I think we found it. I smell a rat or a raccoon.
or a possum.
Sorry, no disrespect intended. So they got into a fight about something. That's it. And then people got genuinely distracted by the fact that a rat in New York City can be the size of a raccoon or a possum. I mean, you noobs. Everybody knows that. The rats are really big
here.
First time you go down the subway and you look down, you're like, whoa, those are three huge rats on the tracks. Are they going to get hit by a train? Somehow they don't. They live. And then they live to eat your pizza that you drop on the ground.
The rats that you see on the street level are ones coming up usually to get food, right? In theory?
I don't know. I just assume that they live here.
I don't know where they live.
My thing is, where are
the ones that aren't having to come up to get food? Because those things have to be even bigger.
Yeah, they're down. They're down there. They're down there under the train. They're very big. They're very scary.
Luckily, I've only been in New York a few times, so luckily I've never had to come across one.
Yo, I saw a skunk. I looked in the eyes of a skunk the other night, and I was terrified. I'll tell you what. It's going to sound made up, but there a thing I'm trying to do with Myrtle lately is take her leash off. And like, you know, we'll play fetch in the back with no leash. But I'm trying to see if she'll listen to me enough that I can get her from the apartment down to the outside, go to the bathroom, and then back in the house without a leash, without her like wandering off. And so I took her leash off and was walking her down the hallway, took her down the stairs. We got to the door to the outside, and usually I'll put her leash on there. And I was like, let me see if I can do this. So I opened the door and I'm like, go ahead, Myrtle, go potty. And she goes to run. And as she goes to run, she stops, and I look up and I lock eyes with a skunk. And then I was like, all the times to have unleashed my dog, there's a live animal that she's going to want to chase that will spray her, she'll smell, I'll throw up, it's gonna be a mess. So I just I like blacked out of like panic, and I think I just went like, Myrtle, come here right now. And I must have said it in a voice that she had never heard before that was so scary that she like sprinted over to me, and I like hooked her onto the leash and was like, we're going inside, we're going inside, we're going inside. I was terrified.
Pee on the floor, I don't care.
I was terrified. I don't think I've ever seen a skunk, but I was like, I don't know how close it needs to get to me to hit me. We're going inside. You can pee later. You can pee in the toilet.
I saw a skunk once when I was, I had to have been like 6 or 7, something, because I know my sister was like way too little. Like, she was still in like a carrier. She was like a baby, and she's 3 years younger than me. So I had to have been like 6 or 7, but we were on vacation, and I remember I saw it, and I didn't know what it was, but I remember my dad very loudly yelling at me to not go near it. Anyhow, that's my raccoon, or that's my skunk story, so.
The last time I saw one,
I was pulling into my old apartment, and I see one scurry across, and I'm like, how am I supposed to get to from my car to inside the my apartment? It could be over there.
You can't. You're stuck in your car. You live there now.
So I sat there for like 5 minutes.
The problem with raccoons is they're cute as hell.
No, they're not.
Yeah, yes, I want to hug them.
That's
have
why,
you
like,
seen
a
Travis?
Rat,
have
a rat
seen...
versus a possum. It's definitely rat or possum. There's no way it's rat or raccoon.
Yeah, there's
raccoons
no way you're
going to
mistake
rats.
It.
They look like possums.
But also, they've got the little like masks on their eyes.
Yeah, they're
like, they
so
look,
cute.
They
use their
so
little
cute.
Paws
their
like
little
hands.
Gloves. Yeah, and they've got like their hands
watching
with, like,
them eat
gloves.
Stuff. They're so cute. They're like little robbers. They're here to steal your trash.
Yes, I've seen them, but I just.
But have you seen the TikToks where somebody goes out to like a dumpster and
I'm
is
just
like,
imitating
hey.
A raccoon for our listeners for background noise.
And there's like 10, like there's like a
I'm
family
gonna release
of
the
raccoons
video.
In there.
Screw
and they're
you.
So cute. You had to have seen
You don't
them.
Think
yes,
raccoons
I've seen
are
them.
Cute?
I just don't think they're
You seen Guardians of the Galaxy, bro? They're so cute.
Actually, I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
What? It's so good. The first one's so good. You didn't see it?
I've seen maybe 3 Marvel movies.
Travis, that Guardians movie is good. Have you seen Ragnarok? Thor Ragnarok?
No.
These are the movies you should see. If you're going to watch 2 of them, watch those 2.
Yeah, I'm good.
I watched a lot of them during the height of the pandemic.
They don't do anything for me.
Yeah, but these are actually good movies outside of the Marvel universe. Like, they're in the universe, but outside of that, they're still worth watching as films. All right. Well, two men fought over something else and pretended it was about something else. What else is new? Anthony Davis. We can breeze through this one, but I do find it interesting that the Lakers are currently in 7th in the West, which means that they would be in that play-in tournament that LeBron advocated for the firing of the creator of. Too many prepositions in that sentence. But Anthony Davis said that he's enjoying the challenge. It's been fun, to be honest. He said this Sunday after they beat Phoenix and snapped
a stretch. Says the guy that's been injured for most of the challenge.
Yes, that is something to note. They lost 8 out of their last 10, but then when they beat Phoenix, he was happy. He said, "We were a great team last year. This is the first time since I've been here that we ran into a challenge. This is a different challenge for us." This is the thing that keeps coming up with a lot of teams of, like, you know, we've heard it with Brooklyn too, a team that has a lot of stars, many of whom have missed some time this season with injury, where they're like, we could use the play-in game as an opportunity to get that chemistry back going if we needed to, or we needed to just play a couple games before the playoffs. And it's like, does everybody realize that the regular season is that? Like, it is that. We always talk about how regular season games don't matter and players can sit out and yada yada, and then everyone's like, I just wish I had more time to do this challenge before we start the playoffs. And it's like, you did
the entire season leading up to this.
That's supposed to be stop wondering why regular season games don't matter and start pretending that they do, and guess what, you'll have time to do all that stuff.
Can we rename the play-in tournament the redemption tournament
if you want to? Give me your reasons, let me hear the pitch.
Just because in MTV, you know, you had the Redemption House, and I just think that...
Oh, I get it. Well, so the reason I wouldn't feel great about it is because the two of those places would have normally made it in. So we'd be essentially saying that they lost when they didn't.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the one season, Dirty 30, where you didn't lose, but the winner got to just send somebody automatically into the Redemption House.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We can call it the Redemption Tournament. I'm fine with that. I sign off on it.
And the Lakers right now, which I hate that I'm going to say this, the season ended right now, today.
Yeah, you said it, though. You said it, though. You did say it.
They would play Golden State in the first game.
Ooh.
Which I am here for.
Well, I mean, me too.
That'd be fun.
And the loser then would get to play.
Look,
one
I think
more
I
game.
Like, I'm hesitant to endorse anything, but I think I like the Redemption Tournament. I think it's fun.
Christina, does the union want to endorse this?
Sure.
I'm all for the Redemption Tournament.
Yeah, I think we're in on the Redemption Tournament because it's like sweat a little bit. Let me see it. You only have to win if you're a 7 or an 8 seed, you only have to win one game. And if you're in a 9 or a 10, you can win 2 games and be in. So let's see it. I think that's fun. I think that I understand why people who are sitting at 7 and 8 don't like it, but I'm more of a 9-10 guy. So it's just how I am. But it will be fun to watch LeBron have to play in that game and how he handles it. Boy, do I look forward to it. Speaking of how he handles it, I don't know if that's a good transition. It's probably not. But the way Medina Spirit, the Kentucky Derby winner, handles that is he does drugs. Look, allegedly, do I have to say allegedly? How does it go?
How does horse law work?
Wasn't it proven?
He tested positive. They're doing more testing. So I guess he didn't allegedly. He did test. Yeah, you don't have to say it.
But it says the win is now in jeopardy. Which is like,
yeah,
well,
but he's not officially DQ'd from it yet.
Okay, so
I have 2 questions.
Well, let me tell the story first, and then maybe it'll answer them. And then if it doesn't, you can ask them. Okay. The Medina Spirit was the horse's name, won the Kentucky Derby. It's a Bob Baffert horse. If you've watched any horse racing, even just a little, you know who Bob Baffert is. He's that gray-haired guy that you see all the time. He's got, same thing. Mm. Honestly, same thing. No. But sure, he's a white-haired man. You said this was his 7th horse, Travis?
This was his 7th Derby win.
Yeah, which I think is the most for any trainer. He's denied all wrongdoing, promised to be fully transparent with the KHRC, which is the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, during its investigation. His barn received word on Saturday that Medina Spirit had tested positive for an excessive amount of the steroid betamethasone, which is sometimes used to treat pain and inflammation in horses. And I will say, as a person who did a deep dive for a monologue for a show once called Always Late about drugs and horses and horse racing, there's a lot of stuff that they do that's sketchy. And there's a lot of like rules about just how much of this stuff you can give to horses. Horses do a thing that humans don't do, or if they work out too much, I believe it's that their lungs like bleed. They almost like cry, like sweat, blood type of situation. And so there's like a drug that you give them to keep that from bothering them, which you could argue is a drug that's a performance enhancing drug, but at the same time, it also keeps them from having something bad happen to them as a result of exercise. But then they're just driving these horses into the ground. They're like overworking them and giving them too much. It's the same thing we hear about with baseball steroids. Most of the time, guys are like, you're not taking steroids when you lift. You're taking them to help you recover so that you can recover faster and go back out and do more. Because we all think steroids, like, oh, you got juiced and jacked. And it's like, yeah, but a lot of times it's basically mostly about the recovery. So people were like abusing this and running their horses into the ground. I don't think it was beta methasone. I think it has a funnier name. I actually think it sounds like it almost sounds like an adult medicine. I remember being like, this word exists in human language already, but in horse world, it means whatever.
Advil.
I'll look it up later. It's not Advil, but that's very close.
Aleve?
Bob Baffert said, I intend to thoroughly and transparently. I'm laughing at Aleve so that nobody tells me I missed that joke. It was very funny. I intend to thoroughly and transparently investigate the matter to determine how this could have happened, Baffert said in the statement. Well, here's the thing, Bob. It's a horse. And so it's like.
Of course.
I don't know that this could be very interesting, because a lot of times when players get caught with stuff. Who was it recently that I was reading a statement where they were like, I didn't do this. I did not do this. And then they said that it was actually in a tea or something that they drank. I believe the horse in this situation. I mean, if Bob Baffert didn't give it to the horse, you think the horse just knew to take betamethasone? I'd argue, and I'm not saying horses are dumb. No offense to any horses who are listening. But I don't think they're smart enough to know that they should eat that and be better. So somebody gave it to him. This is kind of a cut and dry, whereas with an athlete, you're like, oh, he might have taken it. Somebody might have given it to him. We don't really know. I think we know here. I'm comfortable, if you guys are, absolving the horse of the guilt.
I mean, the horse is the one who took the drug, so I don't know.
I think we should probably wait for a little more evidence before this podcast. I just don't want us to be on the wrong end of things and the horse comes out and then it's like, I did it.
You don't want to be on the ass end. I get it, but... Yeah. The thing is, it's a horse, and it feels like somebody would have to give it the drug. I can't tell if you're looking up more information or sending a text about how much you hate being on this podcast.
No, so Baffert said that one of the test issues was created by a groom urinating in the stall after the groom had been taking cough
medicine. Wait, a groom? What's a groom?
A horse.
Okay. Can we call it a horse then? Because what the hell is that about?
So somebody tweeted, he's like, I'm really upset that I found out that it's a groom is a word for a horse. I was hoping that somebody got married there, got drunk, stumbled into the barn. But then he said
that's what I instantly just thought of.
They said that then Medina Spirit ate some of the hay that had urine on it.
Okay,
wait,
first of all,
what
gross.
Kind of treatment are we giving to a Kentucky Derby, future Kentucky Derby winner? He's just eating piss hay? Clean out the
why
hay.
Are we not
this is
a
champion.
Stall?
I thought these things. I was told that these champion horses, these like prize horses, are treated like kings and queens. They just get to like bang all day. People just bring horses in that are like, hey, can you impregnate my horse with your good horse? And then they do that, and then they get to eat all the food that they want. They get treated like the best horses ever. And now you want me to believe that Medina Spirit was eating piss hay before the biggest race of his life?
Yeah, that I don't buy.
I don't believe it. Groom, bride, don't care. Don't believe it. Piss hay.
I have a question. For everybody who bet Medina Spirit and won money off of this horse winning,
you got nothing.
What happens?
You get nothing?
You don't get your money?
Bets have been paid. It's over. The only thing.
Wait. So sorry, Travis.
Oh, wait,
you got to be clear.
So you do get
if
your
you
money.
Made the money already, you keep it, and if you bet on the one that is now the winner, you get nothing.
So if Medina Spirit gets DQ'd, Mandaloon would be the winner.
Okay.
If you bet Mandaloon to win, you do not get any money.
That
Everything
sucks.
Has been paid out. The the horse trainer and the owner from Mandaloon would get the money that first place gets.
Sure.
But bets are done.
Yeah, I guess that's because they can't. They have to put an end date. Because they've been.
I mean, a lot of people go up there to the window and get paid out immediately.
Right.
And so you're not going to get the money back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Weird. I think I would feel like if somebody told me I had to give the money back, I would.
I wouldn't.
Oh.
I mean, if they said you had to and it was gambling, I don't know. I always think someone's going to break my legs. Isn't that what always happens if you don't pay? You get your legs get broken. I don't want broken legs. Take the money.
Well, if that's the alternative, then yeah, take my money.
I'm a scaredy cat, so that's how that works. But Travis, you said you think they should punish the horse. This was your hot take before we started, and I told you to save it.
I did?
Didn't you say they should punish?
Oh, I'm the one who said that.
Christina said they should punish the horse.
We should be punishing the horse because the horse is the one who took
the
drugs.
Well, the horse could actually get punished. There's a chance that it won't be like, I think in the Preakness this weekend, there's a chance that it doesn't run.
Huh.
I think we should punish the horse. The horse took the drugs.
Well, yes,
we punish an athlete because the athlete took drugs.
And so, but here's the thing again. I think it comes down to agency. And I think that the horse does not have agency to choose this food over here gives you a good chance of winning and this food over here doesn't. I don't think they have that thought process. I think they eat what gets put in front of them, even if it's piss covered hay. I would argue that Medina Spirit not running in the upcoming races would make me think that they are, that the drug test was real and true. Are you saying they would be sanctioned and not allowed to race? Or are you saying that because of all this hullabaloo, they would just not race?
Well, because of that and it having now illegal substances in its system.
Yeah, how long does it stay? I gotta piss like a racehorse? Don't they pee a lot?
I don't know. I mean, clearly, because they were talking about taking hair samples to retest, so clearly it could, I don't know.
Here's another question. Bob Baffert called a trainer, right? That's his title. But at this point, when you're Bob Baffert level and you've got seven horses that have been Kentucky Derby winners, he's not actually training the horses, right?
So I don't think the day-to-day there's someone that's getting on the horse and riding it. It's not the jockey. But I think...
Yeah, jockey and trainer are different anyway.
Yeah, but then like there's someone in there that is actually going to ride the horse and it's not going to be Bob Baffert. But I think he's going to have his hands on... I mean, this is one of his prized horses. This isn't, you know, some one-year-old horse that he's the trainer for where he might...
I just want to know, does he still train? He's 68. Does he still actually train them? Or is it like you become Bob Baffert's, you know, barn and then you hire the best trainers in the game and he just sits there and cashes in and cashes in and cashes in and books dates for all of his horses that have
Well, then I won. Think you would be hearing from that train, like Bob Baffert wouldn't be the one.
You think that they would push out the guy who actually did it? They'll find a guy to blame it on, I'm sure. That's how everything works, isn't it? I don't know. Either way, that happened. But was that what, Travis?
What was that?
That one I didn't hear, so I'm fine with that.
Me either, so that I hope that was good for you.
More of Travis pretending to be a horse in a second, but today's podcast is also brought to you by BetterHelp. So, Horseman, how would you like me to tell people about BetterHelp?
As a bartender that is at a hotel bar and just will not stop talking to you.
Hi, how are you? Good, what can I get ya? All right, yeah, I'll make that for you. Okay, cool. Man, crazy day here. Yeah, commercial support for this podcast is provided by BetterHelp. Yeah, you know, if you're struggling with relationships or having difficulty sleeping or difficulty meeting your goals, like if you're feeling anxious or stressed, BetterHelp counselors can listen and help, you know? They're like bartenders almost, but they're, you know, more qualified. But you can talk to them. BetterHelp will assess your needs, going to match you with your own licensed professional. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. I see your eyes being like, is it a crisis line? It's not. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's not stupid and boring and universal. It's professional counseling done securely online. Hold on. Let me go fill this guy's beer because otherwise he's going to be a huge pain in my butt. Hey, how are you? Awesome. Yeah. Cool. I can't. can't stand that guy. Therapists have a broad range of expertise that may not be locally available in your area. The service available is, it's available for clients worldwide. You just log into your account anytime and then you send a message to your counselor. It's like super easy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they can make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to, which is, you know, necessary because sometimes like, just like you get customers you don't like, sometimes you get a therapist and you're like, we just don't match, you know, but it's not like you and me. You're my favorite customer because I can just tell you anything and you definitely want to listen to me tell you everything I'm thinking. Oh, also, I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but it's more affordable. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So it's like they're growing network. It's just like everybody knows this is where it's at. So our listeners, my customers get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/Nolan. That's BETTERHELP.com/Nolan. And you know what? That one's on me. Hey, yeah, totally. I see you're looking at your phone. Am I talking too much? No. Anyway, I wanted to tell you about this guy I met the other day. And scene.
That might be my favorite one you've done.
You know, it's tough because I don't recognize that trope at all. I've never had a bartender talk my ear off. I talk bartenders' ears off. That's how that goes. So.
I've been on both. I've been had the bartender talk my ear off, and then I've probably talked their ear off before.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, I definitely have been on the receiving end, for sure.
Sometimes you just need to talk.
Especially if you're alone.
Yeah. Speaking of just needing to talk, Adam Thielen needed to talk. He needed to get some feelings off of his chest. So where did he go? He goes where we all go, to golf.com subpar podcast. And he said, there's nothing better than leaving Lambeau with a victory. There's literally nothing better. The whole stadium is not nice. There's nothing fancy about it. It's bleacher seats. And look, we're not going to spend a lot of time on elitist Adam Thielen, but I will say, you sound like an elitist, Adam Thielen. I mean, what is it about a stadium being fancy that matters to you? If the locker rooms are bad, then that's fine. Say that. Maybe that's something we don't know. But don't say that the bleacher seats affect you. You're not up there. And people put their butts in those to watch you do what you do. And I actually enjoy a bleacher seat. I think it's kind of nice. It makes you feel like you got a sense of community. You know, you look around and you're like, I'm probably sharing a bench with one of the owners of this team. So that's neat. I think Lambeau's cool. I think it's weird that the street right next to it is a residential street with houses on it. But as this subreddit of this podcast has berated me before, apparently that's true of a lot of stadiums. So I'll just shut up about that. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's not. I think it's a cool stadium to play in. And it's weird to hear somebody be like, it sucks because it's not nice and it's bleacher seats.
Well, so that's the one thing. Like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is right next to residential houses. But Adam Thielen attacking a team that's owned by the people for their seats is...
And saying there's nothing fancy about it.
Yeah.
It's like, look...
Though I will say, a bleacher seat, let's say your seat is 18. By the end of the first quarter, now you're like, you're at 16 somehow.
It does get a little confusing because you stand up and sit down and you got to move to let people go to the bathroom. But it also feels like, look, some people need a little bit more room and some people don't. And like... I don't know. I've watched my dad sit in tiny seats and been like, this must suck for him as a larger man. That like,
that is very true.
It must be nice to have the freedom of sitting on a bench.
No, that is very true. The only downside to a bleacher seat is my back starts to hurt because I am notorious for slouching. But yeah, it's just odd. Like, why? What do you care about the bleacher seats?
It just seems like a weird thing to pick on. There's nothing fancy about it. It's bleacher seats. It's like, yeah, okay, but it's also Lambeau, which is like a big...
I've never been to Lambeau, but I can imagine
I walked in and I remember being like, this is cool. This is a cool place. The Lambeau Leap is cool. It's just like I know there's a lot of like, it's almost...
It's a piece of Americana.
Yeah, it's almost hacky to be like, oh, it's all these cool things. It's like, yeah, it's not the coolest thing in the world, but it's certainly, I wouldn't say an awful stadium. It just feels like you're completely ignoring the lore that has been built in it.
Yeah, it doesn't have, you know, the luxuries of like a Jerry's World or whatever, but those stadiums sometimes seem very sterile, and I like a stadium or arena that's got some, you know, character to it.
Yeah. New Yankee Stadium, obviously I don't like any Yankee Stadium, but New Yankee Stadium, when they built it, I was like, this doesn't feel... It just felt like a cemetery. It was very quiet.
Give me Fenway or Wrigley.
Yeah, it was. You want a little bit of character. So Adam Thielen, not one of the good ones. So that's that. That's what I'm willing to say there. Clearly, he likes the finer things in life. But sometimes the other stuff's cool, too. But, you know, I get it. I understand it if you're a fan and you're like, I just want to sit in a seat that's comfortable. But Adam Thielen, you're not even sitting in the seats. So why don't you worry about...
He himself is sitting on a bleacher.
Yeah. So worry about you. And then our last story. It's just, you know, I hate to include stories where I'm like, yeah, I think I was right. But Aaron Rodgers is very thirsty to host Jeopardy. Because he's making a cameo on the show The Conners, which is, that's a Roseanne spinoff, right?
Yes.
He's making a cameo on The Conners as the host of Jeopardy.
What? So are we just slating him in as the host of Jeopardy?
It appears that that's what he hopes. That, like, you know, remember when I played the host of Jeopardy, how natural I was at it? Well, I guess I'm the host of Jeopardy now. I mean,
yeah, because how awkward if we make an announcement that the host of Jeopardy is now somebody else, but Aaron Rodgers is going on other TV shows impersonating the host of Jeopardy. I'm confused.
It's going to be really confusing, like, if somebody in a couple years goes back and is watching The Conners and the host of Jeopardy's Aaron Rodgers, but really the host of Jeopardy is not Aaron Rodgers.
Man, I've been thinking about That's this a lot saying. Lately, where, like, the movie and television representations of things may end up being how we remember them happening, because there's just too much history to remember. So I bet that there are elements from the movie Titanic that people will just... You know how your brain just sort of amalgamates things sometimes? I bet we kind of collapse into each other the reality of the Titanic and then what happened in the movie Titanic.
No, what happened in the movie is 100% accurate.
Sure, you're right. And we can continue to uphold that if that's what you want. But just let me keep going for a sec for the rest of the listeners. We just kind of collapse them into the same memory and forget which part is real and which part we made up. And it just feels like... It feels like Aaron Rodgers being the host of Jeopardy. Are they calling it Jeopardy on the show?
I imagine
so, right?
The folks
at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel spotted the tweet hyping the final two episodes of the season from the Roseanne-free Roseanne reboot, which is another thing. A Roseanne reboot with no Roseanne is going to be very confusing in our memories in 30 years. One of the characters in the show appears as a contestant on the show, a device that has been used in the past. Roger spent 2 weeks as the guest host of Jeopardy. He wants the job. The producers of Jeopardy are expected to name a host later this year. Yeah, all right. So look, if you guys still want him to do it, that's fine. Do it. But clearly, he's like colluding to solidify it in his mind that he's the host anyway. So at this point, I feel like we don't need to make him the host.
I think he's just decided for all of us that he is the host. So
he can be.
All right. I guess he is.
If any show or movie in the future wants to have Jeopardy in it, he can be the host for that. And not the actual host.
He is the Hollywood Jeopardy host.
He can be the Hollywood host of Jeopardy.
He gets to play the Jeopardy host on television.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not a doctor, but you play one.
Yeah, that's just, you know, incredibly confusing, but fine.
I'm just trying to think if there were a job I really wanted, if somebody offered me a job pretending to have that job on TV, if I'd be like, yeah, I can't take that because I genuinely really want that job. So I would... It would be weird for me to be that thirsty. I can't tell. I'm like trying to put it in my own life to be like, would I make the same choice?
That makes sense. It'd be one thing if he wasn't doing he didn't do the real Jeopardy, he didn't want it, and he's just going to do this TV thing.
Yeah, or if he
this
did
would
this,
be a completely
and then
different
that's what got him the audition to do the Jeopardy. It's like, but it's weird to be like, I want to be like, I don't know, like a Jimmy Kimmel. So then somebody offers, so I audition to be a Jimmy, that's the part that I'd be missing. So I like go get, apply for that job. And then in the meantime, while waiting to hear back, I'm like, look, it's me, Jimmy Kimmel, played by Katie Nolan. And be like, wait, what?
Right? Yeah, it's just, it's just a little awkward.
Or
it's
does
like,
it mean that he's just, it's like, that's how goals work. And I'm not a goal-oriented person. And if you really want something, then you just keep making it happen. Maybe that's what it
is. Yeah, like, is this what they mean when they say speak it into existence? Because he's really doing it.
Fake it till you make it. Thumb it till you become it. He's doing all of that. So
I guess he's our new Jeopardy host now because he says so.
I don't know. Is he going to play for the Packers next year, Travis?
I I am not speaking on this matter until what, June 1.
You say 1. That like you have more information than
yeah,
you do.
What?
No, no, but as I'm just not, I don't want to talk about it at all. Because until June 1, nothing is going to happen, so why spend time on it?
Well, sure.
Okay.
But
well,
that's kind
Travis
of,
doesn't
I
like to have
think,
fun.
Our job.
But whoa. If speculating about Aaron Rodgers is not fun.
It isn't?
No. Talking well, about Aaron Rodgers
attitude.
On Jeopardy
not with that
is fun.
Attitude is absolutely right. All right, let's do another sponsor.
I love fun.
What happened was I forgot that we had a middle sponsor, and so I did all the stories. We spent a lot of time talking, and then I did another sponsor, and then we just did two really short stories, and guess what? We have another sponsor. So it wasn't spaced out properly, but don't hold that against us. It's not a big deal.
Two sponsors in one.
I think we have time for one more voicemail, but before we do, this podcast is also brought to you by our friends William and Mary. They still together? Good for them. So Travis, what's up?
Can you do this as if you're the Cookie Monster, please?
I don't know what Cookie Monster sounds like. I'm the Cookie Monster. Like that?
Sure. Is go that with it? That. Sure.
Today's business education needs to be more than just innovative. It should bring a proven legacy of success. Nom 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 nom. A focus on practical outcomes and a modern hands-on approach. William and Mary's Mason School of Business applies these strengths to provide the foundation necessary to help you succeed. But Cookie Monster pops his peas a lot, apparently. Apparently. Whether you're seeking online, part-time, or traditional full-time graduate education, Cookie Monster lost his place in the ad read. William and Mary brings the expertise necessary to ensure your success. Om nom 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 nom, eating cookies. Om nom 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 nom. I'm a monster.
Raccoon?
Nom, 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 nom. Visit.
Or maybe a possum. Who knows?
Visit wmbusiness.info to learn more about William and Mary's MBA and specialized master's programs. William and Mary's Raymond A. Mason School of Business, driven by innovation, defined by progress. Rom, 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 rom. What do you think, Trav? Was it good?
That was great.
Was it?
Thanks this might be my favorite sarcasm. Podcast reads.
Whoa.
Really?
I finally made Travis happy in like a really small, barely noticeable way.
That's not true. There's been other times.
I did it.
Hi, Katie, Christina, and T-Money, a.k.a. Reality Travis.
Excuse me. Let me just stop you right there. Two nicknames? Katie, Christina.
And
it's
why
like he's getting
are you
us out of the way.
Travis?
And then it's T-Money, a.k.a. Reality Travis. Are you going to drop a mixtape?
Let him talk? Okay. I mean, what are you doing?
Hi, Katie, Christina, and T-Money, a.k.a. Reality Woo-woo. Travis. I'm Sam from Austin, Texas. I'm currently driving back from Dallas, and on this mini road trip, I was thinking about other road trips I could take by myself, as I'm doing now, and it got me thinking, and I wanted to know y'all's opinions. On a road trip, would you rather be by yourself or would you rather do it with someone? And if you are road tripping with someone, would you rather be the driver or the passenger/snack coordinator? And I know my name is Sam, so I'm going to hang up soon so I don't Sam the answer. Love you, mean it. Keep everything up. You guys are doing great. Love you, mean it again. Bye.
Sam.
Let's go, Sam.
Sam, love you, mean it, bud. First question, and this has nothing to do with you, Sam, but I do want to know why Google Voice translated Dallas into lunch hours.
I was just about to say,
the Google transcript
said,
I'm currently driving back from lunch hours. And I was like, well, how many hours do you get for lunch? But
that's what I was thinking.
You didn't say the word lunch or hours. You said Dallas, and that sounds nothing like lunch hours. So shout out to Google for doing their best. But so you're on a road trip, a mini road trip, and you're thinking about others. Questions are, would you do it by yourself or with someone? And if you're with someone, are you the driver or the snack coordinator? Or I would add a DJ, because if you're not the driver, you're the DJ. And also, you got to help with navigation sometimes, but everybody's different with how they like doing that. I would do it. Currently, I need an alone road trip. I haven't been on a road trip in a long time. I love driving alone, listening to music. Sometimes just sitting in silence and thinking, listening to a podcast. I get a lot of thinking done driving. We were trying to come up with the name for our show, and I came up with it on a road trip from here to Bristol. Like, it gives you, you can't do anything else. You're stuck. You can't use your hands to look at your phone. You can't. You just have to be thinking. And I do some of my best thinking while I'm driving. Well,
first of all, I don't think that trip qualifies as a road trip, though.
Well, it was like...
It was what, 2 hours?
An hour or two, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a road trip.
What? How much is a road trip?
I think we need to be 3+.
Okay, so going home to Massachusetts, I used to do that a lot. I used to drive home all the time. And I just like, I like that. I like having that. But I also, if you have a person, like... Being my alone time has become Dan time. We've adapted to each other in a way that we're just together all the time. So I would absolutely take Dan on a road trip. That would be really fun. The dog is where it presents a problem. I wish I had a dog that would sit in a car and love it. And she just absolutely hates it. And so that stinks, or else I would do it a lot more often. But I need to drive her to Massachusetts in July. And I'm already like, oh God, how are we going to do this? And I got to get medication and stuff from her vet. But I would choose to be the driver.
I would... It needs to be with somebody. I did an 11-hour trip back home to Ohio last summer by myself.
It's a lot.
And that is awful. Mm. But I would be the DJ, which to me, the snack coordinator is the third person usually in the back seat.
Who are you road tripping with?
With the, like, when you go to, like, Panama City in college, you drive down there. The people in the back are in charge of, you know.
PCB.
The snacks, and you get the cooler. I want to be DJ riding shotgun. You're in charge of the music. You also get a better seat to sit in. You're more comfortable, better view.
I acknowledge, though, that I'm an annoying DJ, because sometimes I'll really be super into a song and then suddenly be like, I'd like to go to the next song now. And that is very annoying for people. So I like let other people DJ. I don't mind that. And I usually get to listen to music I don't like. And if there's a song, or not that I don't like, or that I don't know. And if there's a song I specifically don't like, I'll usually be like, would it be cool if we skip this one? I cannot stand the song. But otherwise, you're just like listening to stuff other people want to curate for you.
I enjoy my alone time. I do. But I would say it depends on how long the road trip is. Because if it's just an hour or two, then I'm fine doing that by myself. But if it's longer
Travis
than
says
that,
that's not a road trip.
Yeah, I would declare it as a road trip. But so what's funny is my boyfriend doesn't like a drive that's longer than an hour. Like, absolutely hates driving longer than an hour. So I would take him on a road trip, but I don't think he wants to go on a road trip with me. Mm. So, but I think that if you're going to go on a road trip with other people, I think that you need to be very particular of who you're road tripping with, because there are some people who need to pee frequently, who get car sick, who don't all agree on the same music, who don't agree on the same snacks, or like my dad. I love road tripping with my dad. My dad does not like road tripping with anybody, because he has this really weird thing where he has a very heightened sense of smell. What? So you can't eat any sort of snack that is deemed too smelly for him.
Well, that's
because
a good point.
He doesn't like it.
Don't bring a tuna sandwich on a road trip. Be considerate.
He hates Slim Jims, peanut butter, anything that he thinks is too smelly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I ate Funyuns one time. That's a big no-no. But I would also say I would probably need to be driving, because
Funyuns.
The older I get car sick.
Funyuns are my original
sick.
Fun fact.
Damn.
Yeah, I've recently started getting like nauseous if I'm sitting passenger of anybody's vehicle.
It might just
be
because we haven't been in cars in a very long time. We haven't like moved
around a lot.
Yeah, I don't
know if that's the thing.
Well, we have, Katie.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's just me who stayed in my house and hasn't moved.
Yeah.
That's just me. I keep forgetting that it's not universal.
So the reason I say it needs to be longer than an hour or whatever is because if it's just an hour, you aren't like...
It's a commute. It could be a commute.
You aren't packing snacks.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. That's fair. I mean,
well,
I am, but
again,
I get what you're saying.
Not with that attitude.
Your point
I
stands.
Pack snacks for everything.
Your point stands.
What's your you get one snack. What are you picking?
Smart food popcorn.
I would do the Chex Mix, but like the cheddar mix that has like the Cheez-Its.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Like
that
everything
good.
Has like a cheesy coating.
Yeah,
actually after I said you only get one, then I'm like, well, it depends if I'm driving or
you need
if
a
I'm
sweet
in...
and a salty. Yeah,
if I'm driving and I'm by myself, give me like pretzel sticks, because I don't have
options.
My hand's not gonna get dirty while I'm driving. But if I'm not, then give me like some Sour Patch Kids.
That's not
or
a
like the
snack,
sour watermelons.
It's a candy.
Yeah, candy is a snack.
I can't snack on candy though. So if I'm road tripping
not with
and
that
I'm,
attitude.
I mean, the two of you need to just have a podcast that's on your own called Not With That Attitude.
Not With That Attitude. Spinoff series.
Did we answer all of Sam's questions? I think we did.
I think so.
This was a good one, Sam.
Was it? Yeah, Sam, it was good. Thanks for...
Yeah, because you get two nicknames.
And also, yeah, thanks for saying love you twice. It made up for the fact that you gave Travis two nicknames and zero for me. Not a single one for me. That's Sam, it for this. That is it. Travis?
I think Travis. Sam needs to leave a review.
That's it. That's it for this week's edition of sports. My God. Shout out to the Woj pod. The playoffs are right around the corner and nobody covers the NBA like Woj. So give it a listen. You put the podcast before the sponsors. It threw me off. Shout out to MeUndies, BetterHelp, and William, and also Mary. You know what? Shout out to MeUndies, BetterHelp, and Mary and William. And a big thanks to you guys for listening now and again later on a different streaming service, or maybe two. It's a pretty short one today because we actually have this heart out. Whoa, I just noticed I thought my laptop's been plugged in this whole time. It hasn't. I have 7% battery left. Or you can always leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast that doesn't reference a selfie in some way. Please, dear God. Which, by the way, we read and we love them. Like this one from James.Idaho. There you go. That's a better name than last time. We workshopped it. That seems fine. That says, this is by far the most superior podcast out there. Can you be most superior? Doesn't matter. Katie and Christina and Travis are amazing. And after one listen, you will feel like you have three new friends who sometimes talk about sports. But not often. But not often. Lastly, I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I guess I'm not. Travis, you're going to post a selfie soon. We'll keep an eye out for that. All right. Yep. Don't forget that you can always leave off a voicemail. The number's 860-506-5571. Please don't call and tell me that we're like a car crash you can't look away from, because then I'm just going to feel like, thank you for the listen and goodbye. So that's how I feel about that, sir. He didn't even leave his name. Sounded to be about 45. And you know what? I hope he's 30 so that he hears that and it hurts. Say goodbye, Travis.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Christina.
Goodbye.
Bye. Love all of you except that one guy. Mean it.